If you're going to jump, let go. Amen. Absolutely. I like that. I like that. How many brought your Bible with you today? I hope that you did. We're going to get into the Word today. I got a message I want to share with you. It's going to be a blessing to you. God is good to us, isn't He? How many is happy? How many is real happy? Who's the most happy person in the house today? Is it? Oh, I tell you what. It is so much fun serving God. It's fun living. It's fun doing the things that God wants you to do. I mean, you know, God just gives you joy wherever you go and whatever you do in life. And, you know, He can put a smile on your face. I'm a living witness that you can have a smile on your face. If you can smile during a colonoscopy, you can smile anytime. Amen. Amen. I have one of those. I guess it was a Thursday morning. And I get like every 5 years, everything's fine. But they want me to do that. And so, you know what? God's good to us, no matter what you go through. If you've been through the fire, been through the mud, whatever, you know, God will take you through. God's good to us. Amen. Let's make our confession today. Everybody say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the indestructible, incorruptible, ever-living seed, the Word of God, and I'll never be the same, never, 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 in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Another time, come on, hallelujah. One more time, hallelujah. Oh, break the silence. Pierce the darkness, as Frank Peretti said many, many years ago in his novel, and that's what we do. We come into the kingdom of God, and we let our light shine. Turn with me. There's so many places we can go. Turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 24, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, then the book of Joshua, chapter 24. I'm going to read you a little bit from right there, and then we're going to move on to some other places this morning. But I've been sharing in the last several weeks about how that you and I can enjoy the best of life and the best of the things that God has for me. If God died for you to have it, you ought to receive it. If it was important enough for Jesus Christ to hang on the cross for you and I, it's important that you and I receive every single blessing that has been paid for us. And so when we do that, we receive a really good life. It is really great serving God. It's a wonderful time that we have. He brings joy to our heart, laughter to our soul. And so it's a great time serving the Lord. And so we've been sort of talking about that a little bit. We talked about 3 weeks ago when I ministered a little bit about our value of how much God loves us and how much He thinks about you and me and how much He cares for us and how great we are to Him and how much He, you know, wants to invest in our life, all the good things that He has for us. We talked about that a little bit. We talked about our identity of identifying ourselves not with who the world says that we are, but identifying ourselves with who God says that we are. That'll be the key, or one of the keys, that will cause you to walk into the blessings of God. As long as you keep thinking like the world, keep talking about yourself like the world talks about you, you're going to have exactly what the world wants you to have or what they want to give you. But if you're tired of the world and you want to move on from the world and you want what God wants for you, you got to think and act and talk like God says that you are. And so if God says something about you and He identifies you as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, then you recognize you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When He says you're more than an overcomer, I say I'm more than an overcomer. When He says I'll win and I won't lose, I say I'm a winner. Amen? That's what we do. We say what God says about us. And as we do, it becomes reality in our life because it's the truth of really who we are. We looked at that. We also looked at that desire we talked about this last week or so, that desire that God gives us in our hearts and our lives. When 3 John 2, when He said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you might prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Three desires that we looked at and have talked about. And realize it's okay to desire things. It's not bad to want God's best in your life. It's not a bad thing for you to, you know, want to be blessed in life. That number one, of course, as I always talk about, is salvation. You ain't going nowhere. Nothing's going to happen for you. And man, you're going to really be disappointed when you leave this world if you don't have Jesus in your heart and Jesus in your life. And so that's number one thing, is to have Christ Jesus in your heart and your life. Ain't nothing any greater, any better than that. But there's some other things after that. It's great to be filled with the precious Holy Ghost and have the power of God in your life. It's great to be healed in your body where you don't hurt and where you don't have sickness and disease in your body any longer. It's wonderful to be in a place like that. It's great to have a good attitude where you're not depressed and discouraged and feeling bad about yourself and bad about the world, where you've just got life overflowing and abundance is coming out of your life. There's a lot of good desires that you have in life, that all those are there. It's great to be in relationships that are pleasing and loving. I am so blessed to be in love with my girlfriend, and she and I now have been celebrating our relationship now for 46 years of marriage. And so it's a great thing that I have. It's wonderful waking up every morning and seeing her smiling face right beside of me. It's wonderful. I got a good life. Ain't no doubt about it. I enjoy that. It's great having a car to get me from here to there, take me where I want to go. It's great this morning waking up and being warm. Somebody say amen. I have woken in my life and I was cold, so I like the warm. I like getting it with the warm. Tell you what, we used to, before we got heat in our home several years ago, my wife and I, we had no sleep in the house, and we had a fireplace, and that thing go out during the night, and we woke up in the morning, and you couldn't hardly get there to start the fireplace to get everything fired back up because you'd be so tired. You say, why were you so tired all night? Because you slept with about 8 inches worth of pillows and, you know, quilts and blankets on top of you. Everybody ever slept with all them blankets and quilts on top of you? Man, it's cold. You couldn't even hardly move out under that thing. It's great to be able to get up and get the cover off of you, and you don't have to do anything, because downstairs we've got this little computer in our living room, and it sits on the wall, and it says, make it so, whatever we tell it to do. Well, I'll say, make it 50 degrees during the night, and it does that. I say, in the 6 in the morning, make it go to 67 degrees. And 6 in the morning, without me moving or lifting a finger, getting up or doing anything, it takes it to 67 degrees and just brings it up like that. And whatever we put it on, it does. It does what we tell it to do. It's great having that. How many knows it's not wrong to have some stuff in life? Amen? Ain't nothing wrong with that. It's wonderful. I get to enjoy playing the bass guitar, and I got a Gibson guitar up there that costs $1,000. I love that. I like it. It's nicer. When I first started out, I had a little Sears Silvertone that I had. I bought from Sears Roebuck, in catalog store. And that thing cost $89. In fact, I still got it. It's worth about $1,300 now. But it was $89 when I first bought the thing. But, you know, now I got a much more expensive. It's great having a nice guitar that doesn't, you know, run your fingers out when you got it on the strings and cutting into your fingers and that kind of stuff. It's great to have nice stuff. Ain't nothing wrong with having some nice clothes to wear. Somebody say amen. Nothing wrong in that at all. And so, you know, don't be afraid to say desires. Now, are we going to put in our desires before God? No, we're not going to do that. But, you know, I found I don't really have to make that choice. It's not an either-or choice. God doesn't say that if you want to love me with all your heart and everything within you, then you got to dress in rags. He doesn't say that. Would I dress in rags? Well, yeah, if you can't, but that's not the choice that we have. It's not that. God can allow us to have good things in our life and be blessed. And even have an abundance. And you know what you do with that abundance? You bless other people and you give and you share. But you know, you can't give and share and bless anybody else unless you got something in your own life. It'd be wrong for me to try to bless all of you if my own wife was suffering and was in need. And so I've got to provide for my own family first. My kids, my wife, I got to do that. And then when I do that, then I can have some abundance. And with that abundance, I can bless other people too. So all those things take blessing. It's all right to desire some things. Somebody say amen. It is. Now, what you and I need to recognize is this: things don't just happen in your life just because you were walking around and bam, all of a sudden the blessings of God just fell on you. It doesn't happen that way. What I have found out is there is decision that has to be made in our life. There are decisions that you and I make. In fact, one of the most powerful things that you and I can do today is in the realm of a decision. A deciding factor in your life. After we read the first 5 books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, as we see those come through Leviticus, we see that happen. And Moses gave those, and then he turns everything over to Joshua. Joshua does his best to lead the children of Israel. Sometimes they have to lead them kicking and screaming into the promised land, but he does, and he gets them in there, and when he's getting ready to go, he leaves them with a final message. You'll see it in Joshua chapter 24. And this is what Joshua says to them as they go into the promised land in verse 14. Joshua said, "Now therefore fear the Lord." In other words, have reverence and honor toward the Lord. "And serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood." Now, not in Egypt. This was before the flood happened. Terrible things happening where God had to destroy everybody on planet Earth except Noah and his wife and their 3 sons and their 3 wives. And so other than 8 people, everybody had forsaken God and were corrupted in the whole earth, and God destroyed them. So Joshua says, don't you go back to those gods that were on the other side of the flood. And then he says to them, or in Egypt and serve you the Lord. And then he says, verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, if you don't think it's the right thing to do, choose you this day whom you'll serve. Or you need to make a choice then. If you got doubts in your mind about the Lord God and serving him, go ahead and make a choice then. And he says, the gods which your father served were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Every one of us have to make that decision in our life. You can go the way of the world, or you can go the way of God. You can live like the rest of the world lives, or you can live like God lives. You got a choice to make in your life. And the things that happen to you and around you and that surround you in your life are based on not what God wants for you, because he wants the very best for you. Not based on what the devil wants, because he wants the very worst for you. But what determines what kind of life you have around you, it's which course you choose to walk in your life. The decision you make is will determine the outcome of your life. And that's what Joshua is saying to them. He's saying, you're going to have to make a choice. He said, I could tell you right now, right up front, as for me and my house, we're serving God. Now, I can't speak for you, Joshua is saying. You got to make your own choice. And you know, how many I hope you have, I hope some of us have some really righteous grandmothers and grandfathers and moms and dads and family. Thank God for all that they may have implanted in their life and good things in their life. Thank God for all of that. Wonderful. But you know what? Grandma and mama and dada cannot serve God for you. That's your choice. You're going to make your choice whether you're going to serve the living God or whether you are not going to serve the living God. Based on that choice will determine the outcome of how you live here on planet Earth and how you live when you leave planet Earth. Because there is a life that all of us are living right now. It is encapsulated inside this human body, this earth suit that we have. But one day, the spirit that I am, the soul that I am within my body will leave. Either the rapture take place and I'll be transfigured, and that'd be great too, or I'll die. And if I do, that means my spirit and body just leaves this body and I go to be with the Lord. I'll stand before the Lord God, and based on the decision I've made in my life to receive Christ as Savior or not will determine where I spend all of eternity. Amen? Basic, classic salvation. And so Joshua is saying that to the children here of God that he's talking about. And they begin to talk. The people answer in verse 16 and say, well, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. Joshua, you're not thinking about us when you say that. Verse 17, for the Lord our God, he is the one that brought us up out of up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way, wherein we went among all the people through whom that we passed, and the Lord drove out all those people before us, and even the Amorites which dwelt in the land, and therefore we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. Joshua sort of talks a little, I don't want to say it smart aleckly, but he sort of gives them something to think about. Verse 19, Joshua said to the people, you can't serve the Lord, for he's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He'll not forgive your transgressions, your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after he's done you good. And the people said, no, Joshua, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Verse 22, Joshua said to the people, you're witnesses against yourself that you have chosen. See this? You have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. And what does that choice do? Verse 23. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. You see, as much as I understand that you and I could be in this church today, we could make decisions for Jesus in our life. That's a very important first step. But it's not just a decision that we make to serve Jesus, and that's just it, and it's over flippantly, and we go out and live our lives like we always lived them. No, he said, okay, you made this choice, get rid of them gods. And you and I, when we make a real choice to serve the living God and we choose to accept Lord Jesus Christ in our life, it's not something we just make a little mental assent to. It's something we believe with in our heart, have faith within us, and our life changes around us. We don't keep on doing the evil we've been doing. Somebody say, amen. And that's what he's saying to them. You made a real decision. Get rid of that stuff then. You don't need that. Get rid of it. That's the decision that you've made. Sheila and I made a decision on August the 27th of this year. We made a decision to lose a few pounds. And so we've been working on that now since August the 27th up until now. Finally, I mean, it's not like the commercials say, I haven't eaten anything in 2 days, I'm down 5 dress sizes. Well, I wouldn't be down any dress sizes. Let me get that right. It's not me. Ooh, Lord, let me back that up. But it doesn't happen like that. But you know what? I did go down a pant size. And what I told Sheila I'm going to do, I said, here's what I'm doing. Here is what I'm doing. When I go down and wait, those pants that are too big for me now, and we did, we put them out of the closet, we folded them up and said, they're going to Goodwill, we're going to give them away. Ain't no way I can go back. So the only way I can lose weight, you'll have to see me around here with no clothes on, because they're all going to be gone. Don't get that image in your mind there, but anyway. They're all going to be gone. That's what he said, get rid of the gods. You made a decision, get rid of the gods. And so Sheila and I take this very seriously in life. We made the decision to lose weight, so we get rid of the bigger clothes. Amen? You better wait and see. I don't have to wait and see. I already decided. You see, a decision is very powerful in your life. Make a strong decision in your life what you're going to do and how you're going to live your life. Walk by your decision. Your decision is powerful. It will determine the outcome of your life. It will determine how you live your life afterwards when you make a decision. Okay? All right. Turn with me. We've looked there a little bit. Let's sort of get into a little bit more of the word here today. Look in Galatians chapter 6. Your decisions determine the life that you have. It is not, as we hear so many people say sometimes, that, oh, you know, God just loves you. Well, he does love you, and he does love me too. He loves us all. But he doesn't bless us just because he loves us. He loves us, and blessings are available for us, but you and I have to enter into those blessings. The Bible says in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, for God is not slack concerning his promises, which count all men's slackness, for he is not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want anybody to perish. He doesn't want anybody to die lost. He doesn't want anybody to leave this life and go to a devil's hell. God doesn't want that at all. But he'll let people do it if they choose to do it. And except people choose to be born again, Jesus said this in the book of Luke chapter 13, verse 3, he said, except a man be born again, he'll perish. And so there has to be a born-again experience. Well, how does that happen? That happens at your and I decision to make Christ the Lord of our life. Our decision to say yes to Jesus. We have to make that decision. God wants the best for us, but we don't get the best until we decide, yes, Lord, we'll do it your way. All right. In Galatians chapter 6, Paul made this quite clear in verse 7 when he said this, be not deceived. In other words, don't think it's going another way, or don't let your thinking be different than what I'm about to tell you. Because if you are, you are deceived. That's what he said. And don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. In other words, nobody will ever be able to throw something back in God's face and say it didn't work the way you said it worked. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. I am reaping my life exactly what I sowed in my life yesterday, last week, last month, last year of my life. I am where I'm at today exactly because I made decisions yesterday, last week, last month, last year to be right where I'm at today. My decisions brought me to where I am at. Sometimes we, in life, our mind gets contorted and twisted, and maybe we make bad decisions, and maybe some other people around us do things, and we don't respond with the right decision toward what they did to us or how they treated us or the life that they gave us and those kind of things, and we may end up in a very adverse circumstance and situation in our life. That can happen to all of us. It can do that. But you know what? You might not be responsible for some of those things that other people did for you. Of course not. But you are responsible how you're going to respond to them and what you're going to do about them. And you don't have to stay in that same place over and over again in your life. You don't have to keep on doing that. If you go to the doctor and you say, doctor, it hurts when I do this. The doctor says, what? Then don't do that. If we keep doing it, it's going to keep what? Hurting. So we got choices that we make in our life that determine the outcomes of our life. Now, notice here in verse 8, he says, for he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you want to have a terrible life, if you want to have a life that's outside of God, that's outside the blessings of God, you can do it. You just live the way that the world lives and you'll have it. It'll happen easily. But he that sows to the Spirit, he that sows to the things of God, capital Spirit, not yours, but the Holy Spirit. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, reap life everlasting. And so if I want to have this Zoe kind of life, if I want to have the God kind of life, I've got to make a decision how I'm going to live my life. Because based on how I live my life will determine the outcome of my life. It's me. It's not that God's got it in for you. And no matter what I do, no matter what happened in life, then God has just got a bad path planned for me. That's not the case. God doesn't have a bad plan at all. In fact, to the contrary, the book of Jeremiah says, God said, I know the plans I've got for you. They are good. They are plans that will cause you to prosper and be in peace and health in your life. That's what he says. That's his plans. But you know what? It's up to us whether we're going to walk in those plans. I got a decision to make. You've got a decision to make in our lives. That's what he's telling us. Now, look with me back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. One of the first things that I know of that God ever gave man and woman, when they are born, and all of us have this when we are born. You may not have $105 billion like Bill Gates when you were born. You might not have it. You could have it before you die. But you might not have that when you are born. But this right here, you have when you are born. And if we look at it, we can see in Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, when God created Adam and Eve and he made this beautiful garden of paradise, placed them in the middle of it, he gave them something. And here's what he gave them. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man. His command goes forth. The word of the Lord goes forth. And he said unto him, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. You can eat of anything in this whole garden you want to eat of. Verse 17. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die. In other words, eat anything you want to eat. Don't eat this tree, but if you do, when you eat of this thing, you're going to surely die. And what he did was this. He did not put them into the garden, and you go up to all of the trees, and you see the wonderful blessings that God had given them in paradise. All of them were free for them, but then they got over here to where the tree of knowledge of good and evil was, and there was a big iron gate around it, big concrete fence around it, big wall around it where they couldn't possibly get in it. No. They could get to the tree of knowledge of good and evil just like they could any other tree in the garden. No difference. The only thing that kept them away from the tree of knowledge of good and evil was their choice. Their choice. And they had that when they began. God values your choice. God does not desecrate your and my choice. He does not force us to do this or do that. I know sometimes, you know, I grew up in the Church of God and we'd say, wow, man, the Holy Ghost got a hold of me this morning. Woo, you know, all this stuff. Well, he did, but what we did, we yielded to the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost didn't ever make me do anything. Now, he didn't make me do anything. Sheila and I went evangelizing in the Church of God. We'd go different places, do different things. And I was evangelist in those days and preaching and that kind of stuff. And you know what? And Sheila was there. And oh, man, they just loved her. Every time they'd come up to Sheila, and this one man come up there, the older fella, and he looked at her and he said, hey there. He said, sister, I want to see the Holy Ghost come on you. And I want you to shake that hair one time. I said, it had to be the Holy Ghost come on her. She don't pitch fits. She don't say a whole lot in the first place. But sometimes we had the idea that the Holy Ghost was going to come on us. And when it came on us, we'd be out of control. You don't get out of control. Now, you can yield to the Holy Ghost and he can bless you good. Somebody say amen. But you don't get out of control. He don't make you do it, regardless of what Flip Wilson said. The devil didn't make you do it, and God doesn't make you. It's your choice. You have a choice in this thing. When God created man and woman, he gave them the choice. You can do good, or you can do bad. It's up to you. You can follow my commands, or you can disobey them. It's up to you. Now, dependent on if they follow or disobey, the outcome is there. If you follow it, everything's okay. If you disobey, he says, you're going to die. And there's things like that in life, all the way to the spiritual level that we're talking about right here, all the way down to different things in our life. We can make decisions in our life, what's going to happen. You can take that credit card, and you can go out there, and it can say to you that you got, you know, this many dollars or whatever. Somebody sent me one this week, and I got a credit score of, I think it's 831. And you go from, you know, really 300 to 850. But ours is like 831. And they just sent this credit card and said, you can buy anything you want to buy. I said, not with that, I'm not going to. Because I got a choice. Because how many know if you take that credit card and you max it out, that about 30 days later, you're going to have to start making payments on that thing. And you're going to keep on paying for that thing. Plus all the extra interest that they're going to add to whatever it was that you bought that you were paying for. And so you got a choice. You got a choice. If you like payments, then max out your credit card. You have plenty of them. If you don't want payments, then cut up your credit cards and throw them away. Somebody say, "Wow!" But anyway, throw them away. Oh, don't do that. Credit card adectomy, whatever they call it. I don't know. But anyway, that's what we need to do. Life has choices. Life has choices in you. Everything, you got a choice. And the choice you make is going to determine the outcome and the way you live your life and what happens. You got choices in your life. First book of the Bible. If you go on to Genesis chapter 4, you're right there in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. Genesis 4, verse 7. When Cain and Abel sinned, or really when it was Cain, Abel offered the right sacrifice, and Cain's getting ready. He's going to kill that brother. I mean, something is wrong with him. God's accepted his sacrifice and not accepted Cain's, and Cain is jealous of Abel. I'm going to kill him, is what he says I'm going to do. I'm going to kill him. God comes on the scene, and he begins to talk to Cain, and this is what he says. If you do well, speaking of Cain, if you do well, in other words, if you bring the right sacrifice like Abel did, if you do that, will you not also be accepted? Or would you know, I'm not going to treat you any different than I treated Abel. You bring the right sacrifice, I'm going to accept you too. And he said, and if you do well, or if you do not well, if you don't do well, if you don't do right now, sin lies at your door. And to thee shall be his desire, and you shall rule over, or you shall rule over him. In other words, God says to them, Cain, you got a choice to make, but why don't you see in verse 7, the very first two-letter word. You can read Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, and Genesis chapter 3, all three chapters, and then you get chapter 4, verse 1. And I'm believing this is the very first time in all of the Bible, 66 books of the Bible, 39 of the Old Testament, 776,000 words, of the very first time in all of the Bible you see the word if. If. And what does if tell us? That's in Genesis 4 that we're reading is after Genesis 3, after the sin, after they're kicked out of the garden. If tells us there's a decision to make. If can go one way, or it can go the other. If. In other words, this is going to happen this way. This is going to happen that way. If. Everybody say, if. In the King James Version, 1,522 ifs are in the Bible. 1,522 ifs. A lot of people walking around saying, oh, God's supposed to do this and that for me. Well, maybe so, maybe not, depending on your if. Depending on your if. Because there are many, 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 many conditional promises in the Bible when God deals with you and I. If you do this, I'll do that. If you do that, I'll do this. And God tells us how that he will judge our life or either bless our life based on what we do. And he told Cain, you got a choice. Got a choice here, boy. You better think about what you're doing. You better think. Amen? I don't know if Aretha Franklin got that song from her God or not. But anyway, you better think about what's going on in all of us. Or to think about the things we do, because the decisions in our life all have consequences. They have consequences to them. Go all the way to the end of the Bible, the last book of the Bible, the 27th book of the New Testament, Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter of Revelation. We start the Bible when God is dealing with man with these ifs. We got 1,522 ifs from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. Then we get to the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, one of the last things that the Apostle John tells us as God has given him the revelation. Chapter 22, verse 17 says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. In other words, God says, come to me. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And here it is. Whosoever will, that's a choice. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Don't have to, but if he will, God's saying, come on. Come on into the family of God. Come on into the kingdom of God. Let God be your father for real. Give your life to him. Start loving him. Start living for him in your life. Let go of all these things that the world has for you and begin to give your life to the Lord. That sounds good. Somebody say amen. In fact, stretch your hands toward the heavens. Come on, everybody in the congregation. Close your eyes. Stretch your hands toward heaven. Everybody say, dear Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And I choose life. I give you my life, and I'll live for you all the days of my life in the name of Jesus. That is my decision today and forevermore. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's a decision that we make. We make that decision in our life. And all through, think about it, this is in regard to salvation. All through the scriptures, we see this continually. Let me just show you some. Let me show you a few things that you can make decisions about in your life. We're sort of touching on it, but look at look at Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. Let me give you, just think about the decisions and what they do in your life, okay? Mark chapter 8, verse 36. One of the most powerful, sobering verses in the Bible. Jesus said it. Mark 8, 36, he said, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Ah, what a powerful scripture. I've shared my testimony too many times with you. Surely you know it. But that was the thought that was in my mind on that Sunday morning when I came to Christ. What if I get it all and I die without God? What have I got then? Look at verse 37. "Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Sometimes around our house, Sheila and I, we have all kinds of discussions, of course. And we're talking just one day last week, and I said, "You know what?" I said, "There's that cat. That cat, she loves cats, loves dogs. Me too." But anyway, all of those there, and I've said, "Would you sell that cat for $10,000? "No, you wouldn't. We can get another cat." She said, "I can't get Scooby-Doo for that." That's his name. I said, $100,000. "No." $1 million. "No." I said, "How much?" She said, "No amount of money in the world." I said, "He can be dead in a few years anyway. They don't live by 12 years. "No, I'm not selling my cat." In other words, that cat, you ain't got enough money to buy her cat. You got to, now surely with that cat being gone at the $10, that cat would have been long gone. You'd been having cat stew for supper tomorrow night. That thing been gone. No, not silly. And some of you got some precious little pets and animals around your house that you love that way. Your cats, or your dogs, whatever. You know, they're like part members of your family, I guess, that kind of thing. But you know what? And no disrespect to your pets, you are a whole lot more valuable than your pet. I mean, there really is just no comparison. And you're going to live forever somewhere. And that choice is ours. And Jesus said this, think about it. What if you do everything this life has got to do? What if you have everything this life has got to give? What if you enjoy every pleasure that this life had? What if you enjoyed every pleasure this life had and never experienced a bad day on planet Earth all the days of your life? What if you just had it all? And then you die lost without God. What did you do? My, every one of us choose Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's what Jesus is telling us. Now look at Mark chapter 16. You say, "Well, is it really that important?" I guess God just saves who he wants to. Well, God wants everybody saved. Mark chapter 16, the same chapter you're in. Mark 16, verse 15. Jesus gave this great commission, and he said this. And he said to them, "Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." In other words, tell the good news to everybody. Tell everybody God loves them, and he's on their side, and he wants them to have the best of life, and he's got a great relationship prepared for them, and he wants them in his family. Tell everybody. Preach the good news, the gospel to every creature. And then he says this, verse 16. "Of those that heard this good news, he that believes and is baptized will be saved." So the person that says yes to Jesus is saved. They're new created inside. They receive the new birth, the new creation of God. They're saved. Bad news. "And he that believes not shall be damned." And so the gospel goes to everybody, but the choice is yours. And the choice is mine. And I stand before God, and you stand before God. It won't be, "Well, God, you made me do this, or you made me do that, or God, this is your fault. I guess this is where you wanted me to be." It won't be that at all. It'll be what Leon chose to do in his life. It'll be what you chose to do in your life. Everyone, it's the choices that we make. The most eternal choice we can make, that first choice I'm looking at, is that choice for salvation and a choice to live for God. Let me go on. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. You can make a decision that you're going to walk in the truth of God's word, or you're going to keep living like tradition and men tell you how to live. Because you're going to have to make that choice. And that's a big choice once you walk into this Christian faith. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Scripture says, Paul said, "You have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." How many has received Jesus? Say amen. Then go ahead and walk in Christ Jesus. Act like a Christian and tell everybody you know. Well, they'll think I'm crazy. They already do. They already think you're crazy. That's okay. They're the ones that's crazy. Amen? I saw an advertisement yesterday. I'm going to be very careful how I say this. But I saw an advertisement yesterday, and it was a product called Always that only ladies use. And this product called Always that only ladies use, they took off a feminine image off of their packaging because they didn't want to exclude men and they wanted them to be included. You can take it off the package all you want to, but they still exclude it. And when I saw that, I said, oh, Lord, help me. I live in a world of crazy people. It's unbelievable. I live in a world of crazy people. This world will mess you up. And if you listen to them nowadays, they will mess you up. Oh, Lord, that's one great thing about heaven. There ain't going to be no crazy people there. Man, that's going to be good. To get there when right is right and wrong is wrong. My goodness, this is going to be great. Colossians 2:6. If you receive Christ, go ahead and walk in him. Go ahead and live like a child of God. That's what the world really needs right now anyway. If you and I stand up, make a profession of our faith, and refuse to be moved from it. So, well, they won't like you. I don't care if they like you or not. They fire you. Okay, you get another job. It don't matter. There's nothing worth compromising your principles over. Old Robert said this many, many years ago. He said, what you compromise to get, you will ultimately lose. And when you devalue yourself and your integrity of who you are in life and compromise, you've already lost at that point. But what you were trying to hold on to, you're going to ultimately lose. So you got a choice when he says, as you therefore receive Christ Jesus, walk in him. Walk like a Christian. Live like God lives. Talk like he talks. Be like him. Love like God loves. Amen? Verse 7. What is it? Get rooted and built up in him. But don't just say yes, as we said. That's great. That's your decision. Say yes. But that decision also causes you, as Joshua says, to turn away from idols. And so the decision to say yes to Jesus also causes you to be rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And then beware. Watch out. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. Several months ago, when AJ and I talked to a young man, very, I guess you would say, in some regards, intelligent, and had read a lot, but he was all in this philosophy of all kind of things. And he was very open to hear about Christianity. And when we would make a point, he would say, yeah, I see that. I see that. But then he'd say, what about this? And what about this? And the what about this is that he would talk about with other philosophical arguments that he would bring up. And what he said was this. He said, if you guys are right and I'm wrong, then I've made the most worst decision of my life. He said, but I haven't decided that yet because these other things are weighing on my mind. And you know what? Philosophy can destroy you. You can be so in tune with all of the dogmas of this world and every little weirdo thing they got out there that says, live your life this way and do these kind of things in life that the world says for you to do, that it can blur your Christianity and not know what the right way is. And so Paul says, you better beware of that. All these weirdo philosophies that are out there, these different things, and people talk about different stuff in life, and they say, well, you know, we live in America, there's freedom of religion. There is. And we live in America, and we have to respect other people's rights. And I do. But it still don't mean that they're not nuts and crazy with what they believe. If you think worshiping a tree is sound mind, you're nuts. If you think you coming back is your pet dog and that's why Sheila won't sell you, you know it's nuts. I'm gonna hope I'm in Sheila's family. That way I'll be taken care of. The bark, bark. No, you ain't coming back as no dog, no cat, no mouse or lizard or nothing, or a giraffe. As selfish as giraffes are, you're not coming back as a giraffe. The only way you're going to come back is if you're born again and you get saved and you go to heaven and you come back with Jesus when he comes back to take over this place. If you want to come back, that's the way you come back. Ain't no other way you coming back.
Ain't no other way. Don't let that philosophy spoil you. Notice the traditions of men after the rudiments of this world and not after Christ. We got traditions. All of us have some traditions. Ain't nothing wrong with traditions if you keep them in the right place. But once you get that tradition of men and you exalt it above the things of God, and that becomes your God, you then got spoiled. Everybody say, somebody
stinks around here.
And spoiled by philosophy, traditions of men. Notice what he said about Christ. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In verse 10, I love it. You are complete in him, which is ahead of all principality and the power. I'm complete in Christ Jesus. How about you? Amen? I don't need none of this other philosophies or vain traditions of man. We're complete in Christ Jesus. And you have to make a decision. I'm going to go by what the Word of God says do. Whatever the Word of God says, that's my choice. That's what I'm going by. What if you don't understand it? Oh, I don't understand everything. Okay? But I'm still going to go by it. A lot of things in life you don't understand, but we still do them. Right? You don't understand everything about life. We don't understand everything about how the body works when you're breathing and, you know, exhausting different things out of our body and different things without the word. We don't understand all about that, but we still breathe. Amen? You don't understand about everything that's in food, do you? You still eat it. You probably wouldn't eat buying the sausages if you knew everything's in it, but anyway, you still do. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter. Let me go back. 1 Peter chapter 3. You can decide to have a good life if you want one. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, be of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, and be pitiful and be courteous. You don't have to be a grouch. You don't have to be a sourpuss. You don't have to be mad all the time. You don't have to be looking for a fight. Amen? I mean, can't you just walk around being nice? Being sweet and kind to people? Being loving, good, understanding? Can't you do that? I believe we can. Amen? Verse 9, he don't render evil for evil. I'm going to get them. What'd they do? I know what they did to me. And I'm going to get them. You did it to me, and I'm going to do it to you. I'm going to get them. Or railing for railing, but counterwise. Don't do that. Go the other way. Blessing. Knowing that you are therefore called and that you should inherit a blessing. You can decide whichever way you want to live. If you want to get in a fight with people and fight with them, you can do that and have you knock down, drag out, fight. That's your choice. You can do it if you want to. Well, you win. Well, maybe you might win some of them. But then again, you're going to finally hit that one that you're not going to win. I mean, you know, just, and you're going to lose. But that's not the way that we live our lives. We don't live our lives just to be contagious and be against somebody or confrontational and just to be mad and angry all the time, upset with everybody, out trying to do somebody in all the time. I mean, there's some people like that. And that's not the way to live our lives. Now then, let me show you something else. Let's go to look with me to Proverbs chapter 6. Let me get to this one too, because I don't want to make sure that I'm just letting you know you got choices in life. Proverbs chapter 6. You can decide how poor or rich you want to be. Somebody say amen. There he goes, talking about money. All right. If you oppose the money and that kind of stuff, I understand that. Please, at the end of service, see me and give me all the money you have. If it's a problem for you, if it's a weight on you that you don't want to carry. But anyway, no, you got to have money to live in this life. Amen. You just do. All right. Proverbs 6:10. You can decide how much money you want to have. Scripture says in Proverbs 6:10, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall poverty, or your poverty, come as one that travails, and your want as an armed man. In other words, sleep robs you. If you don't want to be blessed, you don't have to be. If you don't want money, you don't have to go to work. You can stay home. You can sleep, and you can slumber, and you can fold your hands, whatever. You can do whatever. If that's what you want to do, you can do that. It's your choice. But what's going to happen to your wealth is this. It's going to be like an armed man came in and stole every dime you got. See? It's a choice. It's a choice that we can make in life. But you're there in Proverbs 23, verse 21.
The drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. Drowsiness shall close a man with rags. If you don't want to get up and get out and begin to accomplish things and do things in your life and make things happen, you don't have to. It's your choice. But your choice is going to bring you poverty, if that were your choice. And there's another side to look at Proverbs 10, verse 4. He becometh poor that deals with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. You want to be rich, then have hands that are diligent. What is diligent? To be energetic, to go out and to do, to accomplish, to make things happen. Bring things into your life. He that gathers in the summer is a wise son, but he that sleeps in harvest is a son that causes shame. There's a time for gathering. There is a time for eating what you've gathered. As Sheila and I get older in our life, as we've gotten into our 40s and we begin to look at things, that kind of stuff, we've spent a lifetime gathering. And so now at this point in our life, where we're at, if we would want to retire or whatever, I'll never retire, but if we want to quit drawing a salary, that kind of thing, might do that. If we want to quit doing that, then at that point, then we've got investments. We've got things that we've done throughout life. We've gotten out of debt. We own everything we've got. We've got houses and land and cars and blessings and this and that and the other. And we've got money. We got this. We got that. All that came through a lifetime of work. And now because of that, then we're able to live comfortably for the rest of our life and do anything that we want to do. We can do that. But that's based on what he said here. We've gathered in the summer. And so you got to spend your time gathering in your life. Oh, if I had known years ago, and I knew it to some extent, but not like I do now. If I had knew it years ago, I understand that there are seasons in life. And during these seasons of life that you have as you're coming up and you're growing older and you have youth in your life, there are times when you need to be a go-getter. You need to be going after it and working and making and producing wealth in your life. Take advantage of those opportunities. Because like it or not, you might slow down a little bit later on. You might. Now, I'm not teaching you slow down to a crawl or slow down to a stop. But you might just slow down. I try to run everywhere I go. I really do. I try to run everywhere that I go. I just like getting somewhere quicker. And I like doing that and that kind of stuff. It can be a problem for you, especially when you drive. But anyway, I love doing that. Look at Proverbs 3, verse 9. The Bible says, honor the Lord with your substance and with your first fruits of your increase, so your barns be filled with plenty and your presses will burst out with new wine. You want to have full presses? Be a giver. That's what he said. Honor the Lord with your substance. Let God have everything that you've got. And then not only that, recognize that what you have given, give God portions of what you have, of the first fruit of any income that comes into your life. Take that and give it to God. We always do that in our house, our home. Sheila writes those checks out, and that's about the only thing we write checks for now. We do everything that's by bank, but we like writing a check for our giving. And we write a check, and so whenever we get income, we take 10%, multiply it, stick it over there, and there it is. It's so easy to do. And we write our checks, and we give it to the Lord, and we honor him first. And because of that, our presses are filled. Our barns are filled. That's one of the things. Not the only thing, but that's one of the things that caused that to happen. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4, it says this, the soul of the sluggard desires. The person just won't go. He's going to always be wanting. He desires, and he doesn't have anything. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Soul of the diligent shall be prospering. I like the Living Bible that says, lazy people want much but get little, while the diligent are prospering. I like that a lot better than fat. Amen? They're prospering, diligent. Get at it. Go. It's your decision. It's your choice. You can make things happen. You can do things. You can cause increase into your life. Amen. Got to do that. And go by what the Word of God says about you. Go by what the Scriptures speak into your life. And let your mind, I mean, honestly, the days I stand before you today, I know my calendar age. I know what it is, but I also know my spiritual, my mental age. I'm 18 years old inside. I really am. I feel like today is the first day of the rest of my life. Monday is one of the greatest days I've ever seen in my life, and it's coming tomorrow, and I get to start all over again Monday and do all kind of things for the rest of my life. I mean, it's just incredible what you can do, but you got to have the right kind of decision in your life. Going to make that decision of how you're going to make things happen. You do that, God's going to fulfill his word if you'll do what you've told him that you should do. Let me give you another one. Proverbs 14:23, in all of your labor, there is profit. But the talk of the lips tends only to penury or to being losing. But in your labor,
there's profit, but just talking about it is nothing. So don't just keep talking about it. Get up and do something. Somebody say, get up. Do something. Amen. I was traveling from Georgia to South Carolina many years ago, and it's a late night, about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and as I was listening to the preacher, and this lady came on, and she was talking about the offering, and she'd tell all the people, get up. 2 o'clock in the morning, get up. And she said, help the man. Help the man. And I said, I like that. Get up. It made me almost want to call in. In those days, we didn't have cell phones. But anyway, if I'd had one, I'd have called him and gave whatever it was. But get up. You got to do that in life. Get up. Don't just plan to do nothing. Don't just plan to not have any activity going on in your life. There's opportunity. There's great advancement for it. If you make that decision. Now, if you don't, you don't have to. Do whatever you want to do. But make a decision to do something for the Lord that will bless, and then also that will bless your family and do good things in your life. Make that decision. Proverbs 28:19, he that tills the land shall have plenty of bread. He that tills the land shall have plenty of bread. Not me, though. You ever tried eating a ham and egg biscuit without the biscuit? That's what I eat for breakfast. A ham and egg biscuit, no biscuit. Anyway, I'm going to start tilling the land. He that tills the land shall have plenty of bread, but he that follows after a vain person shall have poverty enough. You can run with the crowd if you want to. Crowd will take you down. I mean, you know what? Back in the day, the drinking buddies and running buddies and that kind of stuff. As long as they had money, boy, you was real popular then. And when you didn't, you went to the next one, whoever. You can run with the crowd. The crowd's just waiting on you out there. But you can be outside the crowd. You can be outside the box. You can be an achiever. You can be one that goes forward and one that makes things happen in life rather than just waiting for it to happen for you. You can do that in life. And so he talks about it over and over and over again, every bit of that. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, real quick. Ephesians 6. Scripture says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, of the spirit, of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, therefore. You can make that decision. When the devil comes after you, and he will, if you make a stand for God, the devil is going to launch an attack against you. And he's going to come against you with everything he's got. Now, the only difference is this, is when you were saved, everything he's got ain't near enough to take you out. It won't do it. And you can make a decision to give up and quit, that kind of stuff. I mean, when Sheila and I made a decision several years ago, now almost 9 years ago, I guess it was 9 years ago, we made a decision, right before AJ turned 18. And we made a decision then that we was never going to borrow another dime the rest of our life. Never. And AJ turned 18 and he wanted to go to college, of course, and we told him we'd pay for it, and we did. And so we signed him up at Presbyterian College, and they sent that bill back to us, and I looked at it, and I said, whoa. These folks want a lot of money for this. These people think an awful lot of themselves. And so then I talked to them and different things like that, and I said to them, let's do this, this, and this, and they looked at it, and looked at it, and looked at it, and that kind of stuff. And so finally they sent back this, and every time they sent it back to me, 3 different times they sent it back to me, every time they sent it back to me, it always had loans on it. Loans for him and loans for us. And I couldn't do it because, remember, my decision was, we don't borrow money. That was our decision. And I was still in debt. We were still in debt, all kind of stuff. And so not only were we in debt, but now we're about to start another debt at $230,000 a year. And so no, we're not doing it. We're not going to go in debt. And so finally got them right at debt off of it, and they put the whole bill out there. And they said, well, you going to pay it? I said, yeah, we're going to pay it. And we did. And we made that decision to do it. Now, the devil could have said, you know what? You can defer this and you just don't have to pay it to 4 years later. But that's debt. It wouldn't be no interest. I don't care if you got interest or not. I still don't do debt. It's not my concern. I don't care about the interest. It's debt. I don't get paid and take some of my money and give it away that nothing I ain't got no more to go. No, it's debt. I'm not going to do it. And so we made that decision. Dave Ramsey taught me into how big a fool I was if I did, and I believed him. And when I did, I made that decision, and that decision said we can't borrow money anymore. And when we quit borrowing money, then there that came with college. And so we buckled down. We said, Lord God, we've made this decision. We're going to trust you, and we're going to believe God. And we did. And we never went into debt, not one time. And when he walked off that stage 4 years later, he did what most everybody else there didn't do. He walked out and didn't owe nobody a dime for nothing. And he could look at his mom and dad sitting in the audience, and we were smiling because we didn't owe nobody nothing either. But the devil will give you opportunity to come off your decision. If you don't believe it, ride by Krispy Kreme Donut Shop. He'll give you the opportunity. He will do it. He will give you that opportunity to quit if you want to do it. Amen? But what's stronger, your decision or the devil's decision? Because the devil's made a lot of decisions for you and me about how he's going to defeat us, how he's going to destroy us, how he's going to take us down and take us out. And you can let him win if you want to, or you can stand up against him. And you can do just what the Bible says here in the book of Ephesians, having done all to stand, and you will stand there before God. There's several things we can look at. I'm not going to go into all of them to the day. But basically, let me just sort of let you know something. The Bible said in the book of Proverbs, death and life are in the power of your tongue. You can make a decision what you're going to say. And once you make that decision, don't be afraid to blurt it out. Don't be afraid once you've made a decision. This is what I'm going to do. In fact, the more you tell people about it, the better off you're going to be. We were reading several weeks ago about one of the kings in Ezra's day, and they talked about how they went, and they had told the king that we're going back to rebuild Jerusalem and the walls. And they said, when they were praying about it, they said, we told the king that God would provide for us. And he said, now I can't go back and ask the king for any money because we said God will provide. If he hadn't have said that already, he said, because we spoke. That's what he said. Because we spoke to the king that God would provide, now we can't go back and ask the king for money because we said God would provide. And he said, now we're going to have to fast and pray till we get the money. And they did. And it did come to them. Same way. So say it. Put yourself out there. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I believe. This is what I've decided. This is how I'm going to live my life. Come on. You are a somebody. You're not somebody just going through this earth and everything that happens to you gets to happen to you on its own. You got a say in the matter. You got a choice in this thing. You can decide. You can make that decision. God gave you that, and it stays with you all of your life until when they enter the portal of glory. It's there as well, but it stays with us all the way. You've got that power to decide. You can do that. You can make that decision. James said it like this. He said, if somebody hears the word of God and he's not a doer, he's like a man who came and looked at his face in a mirror. He looked at himself and he walked away. He forgot what manner of man he was. In other words, he didn't do anything about it. But he said, everybody looks in the person of law of liberty, and they continue therein, not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man's blessed. So you make a decision, and you just begin doing your decision. This is going to work. This is going to work. This is going to work. This is going to happen. And Sheila and I did that. We did that financially. We said, Dave said do this. Dave Ramsey, and he was biblical principles. He said do this. This is what we're doing. We go out and buy a new car. Dave says, buy one 2 years old. We buy one 2 years old. Because he's the multimillionaire, not us at that time. He's the multimillionaire, so if that's what he said, I'm going to listen to him. And we did, and it didn't look like it would happen this way. But it did, and it has happened. And from that time 9 years ago until now, God's given us multiplied thousands of dollars. God's done all kind of things for us that never would have happened if we didn't just make a decision. When we made the decision, we didn't have anything. A bunch of debts. We made the decision, that's what we had. But after making the decision, then our life changed. You might not see how it's going to change for you after you make the decision. But have enough conviction about you, enough integrity in your life to stand up on what God has said in your life, decide to do what the Lord has said to do in your life, and just walk it out. Make that decision. You may even, and when you first start, you might be like Esther. Esther said, well, I'm going to go talk to the king on behalf of the Jews. She says, hadn't been there in about 30 days now, and he don't let you come in on your own, and if he didn't raise the royal scepter to me, I'm going to be killed. But Esther said, okay, but if I perish, I perish, because I'm going to do what I've decided to do. And some of us need to have that decision in our heart and life. I'm decided to do what God has told me to do. I mean, I'm believing it's going to work out, but hey, just for the sake of the devil, if it don't, I'm still decided. I'm still going to do it. And the three Hebrew children said the same thing, didn't they? They said, we're going into this fiery furnace. We think God's going to deliver us. We really believe he is. But king, for your benefit, if not, we're still not serving you. And we need to make those decisions in our life. Remember the song we used to sing in the church years ago? I have decided to follow Jesus. Remember that? I've decided to follow him. Billy Graham, his whole ministry was make a decision for Christ. Make a decision for Christ. Why not make a decision in your life that's going to change your life now on and forevermore? What it is. Don't just sit around and let life happen. Make life happen. Amen? Stand with me this morning. Let's pray a prayer of commitment and dedication today. In Jesus' name. Oh, God in heaven. Bow your heads. Let's go before the Lord. Close our eyes. Father, God, we come before you in the precious name of Jesus. Lord God, I recognize all of us here as we gathered in this place. We've got all kind of things in our lives, Lord. Each of us, Lord, different places of our life and different circumstances that we are in. And some of us faith issues, Lord God, financially, and some of us issues in our health and our body. Some of us spiritually, Lord God, and some of us in our relationships, some Lord God, and relationships with spouses and some with children and God and some business decisions and some of us, Lord, in different kind of work environments that we're in. God, all kind of things, Lord God, could be represented in this service today. Help us, oh Lord God, to be strong for you. As Joshua admonishes us to be bold and be courageous, be very strong. Lord God, let us make a decision today. A decision that is right and good and holy and just, that always aligns with your word. And God, let us follow through on it, not giving up and not quitting. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we love you, Father. We give you glory. We give you praise, Almighty God. Holy, holy, Lord God. Holy, Lord God Almighty. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. I don't know when this congregation today is. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you're here today and you need very special prayer, I'd be glad to pray with you today. Whatever circumstance or situation or decision or whatever it might be that is in your life that you need someone to join with you, to sort of encourage you and help build you up and pray with you and stand with you. If you're here, you're loved today and we love you. And if you need prayer today and you'd like for me to pray with you, just now, you just slip your hand up and say, hey, Pastor, would you pray for me in congregation, anywhere in this congregation? God bless you. I see your hand. Anybody else? Anybody? God bless you, sir. I see your hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? You slip up your hand. You want to make a walk to the front, and I'll pray with you here, and I'll join hands with you here if you want to. Come on. You lift your hand, I'll pray with you, and then you can go right back to your seat. Come on. Jesus' name. Come on. Yeah. Come on. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Come on. If you need God to do something in your life, we'll believe God with you. We'll stand with you, and we'll believe. The decision that you make today will be a powerful decision, Jesus. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be. AJ, you'll help me. Fine. Willie Fay, okay. Hey, brother. Hey, you. Hey, what you need, Jordan? Jesus. Hey, I'm going to pray. In Jesus' name. God's good to us. Okay. Well, let's pray together. We join together in Jesus' name. Jesus' name, let's pray. Diane, what you got? Yeah. Amen. Jesus. Stretch your hands this way and let's pray together. Father, God, you see all these precious folks that have come forward right now, Lord God. Lord God, making their need known unto me and, Lord, more than me, making it known to you. I pray, Lord God, that you would move in their lives, oh Lord God, that you would bless, and Lord God, that you'd bring to fruition, Lord God, your word in their life. In the name of Jesus, Lord, God, may healing, Lord God, flow in the name of the Lord. May brokenness, Lord God, be free and be made whole in the name of the Lord. Lord God, I lift, I encourage, I inspire in the name of the Lord, in Jesus' holy name. In the name of the Lord, God, you walk through every shadow, Father God, every valley, Lord God, you see us through. You bring us back to the mountain. And the Lord, in Jesus' name, you are with us, Lord. You never leave us. You never forsake us. In the name of the Lord God, amen, amen. God, in the name of Jesus, I give you glory and I honor you. And I thank you, Father God, that your hand is upon my brother this day and this decision that he has made, Lord God. And Lord God, he will walk closer with you than ever before, Father God, during this time. And God, you will see him through to victory, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Every enemy is defeated, Lord, every foe is defeated in the name of the Lord.
We give you praise. We give you glory. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we lift up, Lord God, Willie Fay, in the name of the Lord. God, for healing, Lord God, in her body, Lord, around her eye, and Lord, in the socket, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. We speak healing and restoration, Father. Deliverance and freedom in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord, we give you praise and we give you glory. We stand together for a healing, Lord. Precious mom, Lord God, that your hand is upon her this day. And God, Lord God, as you bring freedom, deliverance, Lord God, we curse, Lord God, the enemy that's against her, the affliction that would come against her body. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord God, we speak healing and wholeness and health to her in the name of the Lord. And we give you praise. We give you glory in the name of the Lord. Stretch your hands toward heaven and pray this prayer. Say, Dear Father, I give you praise. I give you glory. I have decided to follow you in all of my ways. My heart is yours. My spirit is yours. My life is yours. Everything I have is yours. I decide for you, Lord Jesus. I give you everything that I am or ever shall be. In the name of the Lord, amen. Glory to God. Amen. God bless you. God bless. In the name of the Lord, God is good.